Now you talked about transition. I was thinking about what she said, and it kind of ties into the word I got for today. The when we think about transition, sometimes we think about God moving us from place to place or situation to situation. I've been paying attention to how he moves us to and from people and relationships. And that one may be the least fun, if we want to call it fun, right? I mean, I know some people, if God tell you leave a job and go somewhere else, I've been here my whole life, I don't want to leave, that could be challenging. But not because a lot of times the job is because of the relationships that you made there and the familiarity that you've grown. Saying get up and leave a home and go to another home, that could be challenging. But I think the one that I find the most challenging is when he says, I don't want you any longer around these people. And we can go, but you put us there. You told me to be there, and you told me to, have this relationship, and you told me. And it's like, okay, well, now I'm telling you no more. And that's hard because it's one thing when we're being told to move on and to begin to move people out of our lives, and we may feel some kind of way about that, but you know what? Is when God moves somebody or tells that person to put you out of their lives. So now you're dealing with not only the separation, but the feeling of rejection, feeling, wow, something is either wrong with me that they don't want to be around me, or, this is just, there's an attachment. I believe, I don't know for everybody, to sometimes to people, especially people we've deemed to have some value, sometimes over things, a lot of times over things. And every move you make is not going to be approved of by man. I remember it was this pastor, and he was, I think he was in Texas, and God was telling him to move to Florida or vice versa and let his brother take over the church. And I won't say the name, you'll know him, but if you know the story, you know. And when he was being directed to leave that state and go to another state, he had a big following. So the uproar was sizable. It was sizable. Like, what do you mean you're leaving and going somewhere else? I'm comfortable here, and I'm comfortable with you being there to be the pastor there. He said, no. God told me to leave and go to another state. What was that withdrawal like for him? What was that withdrawal like for you? What is the withdrawal for you now if you're getting a leading in your heart to pull away from something or someone and go somewhere else? If you guys remember, God told me to go to Florida to get away. I was going through a whole bunch of emotional stuff after the separation and the pending divorce. And he told me just to go away to clear my head. And I was sleeping on a very uncomfortable couch in the office during that time. It had been almost a year. And he said, go to Florida, take a break. And I was here for a week, which turned to almost 2 weeks. And when I came back and stood in front of the church, I said, I got an apartment in Florida and I'm moving. And there were different types of responses. But it was, you're going to leave here and everyone you know, and you're going to go there where you probably only knew two people. And the challenge of that, the discomfort of the unknown stops us and paralyzes a lot of time from doing the things that God has called us to do. The separating from the familiar, the getting away from the people, all of these things that God calls you to when he calls you to another place can be scary, frightening. Which is interesting because most of what we know about God is unknown. So if we're afraid of the unknown, doesn't that hinder our relationship with the Father that has so much that we don't know about, whose ways are not our ways and thoughts are not our thoughts? And he comes at us and he says, I want to take you here, and you're going to go from here to from A. And I'm going to move you to Z. And you say, okay. And he said, now go this way. And you're like, no, but that's 1 to 100. That A to Z is this way. And he said, no, well, we're going to get there by going 1 to 100. And the unknown paralyzes us into reasoning ourselves out of obedience. The fear of the unknown, the fear of rejection, the fear of uncertainty, the fear of not understanding, the fear of lack of finances, the fear of all of these things prevent us, or I'm just not good enough, or I'm not educated enough, or I don't know enough people. Can anybody relate to any of these fears? Of course we do. But what I need us to understand is those fears are by design to keep us out of the realm that God has called us to. Fear of the unknown when we serve the unknown God. I know the Lord. Yeah. Stop, please. You know the part that you know. You know Jesus is Lord, and you know if you accept him as Lord, but there's so much about God that we just don't know. And hopefully when I get before him, it says I'll know him, for I'll be like him, for I'll see him as he is. I'll know him as I am known, the word says. But for now, it's me trying to make my finite mind relate to an infinite God, and everything about that relationship functions for us in an unknown. That's why we have a Savior Christ who came to the earth that can identify with us, and we can identify with him. Because in our present sinful state, it's impossible to understand or relate to God. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. That inability to know God as we are known by God creates a chasm. And that chasm is, I'm forever learning you. You already know me. I'm forever trying to figure out even me in you, as we did last week, and what I am supposed to be doing at this season of my life when you knew me before I was in my mother's womb. So you, God, have me at quite a disadvantage because you know the things that I'm going to do before I do them, and I don't. You know how I'm going to respond to your instruction and which way I'm going to go when you tell me to go this way, even though you know ultimately you're going to bring me the way that you told me to go. Let me just throw this out there just to keep you engaged a little bit, because I know I'm getting kind of philosophical, but I'm sorry, that's the season of life that I'm in right now. How many of you, though, just bringing it back to earth for a minute, can say, God has called me to do things, and I wrestled and I pulled and I went the other way and this way and that way, and ultimately wound up exactly where he told me he wanted me to be? How many can say, I've had that happen, right? Yeah, right back. Yep. And then at the end, you're like, well, you know, God had to send me through that to get me to know you went that way, and he just still found a way because he works all things together for your good to bring you back to where he called you. Don't say I had to go through mess to learn this. No, you the mess. God, see, I need you to understand this. God don't have mess to give you. God don't have confusion to give you. God doesn't have sickness, pain, disease, or any of that stuff to distribute. It's not in his pantry. He doesn't. So we go find that stuff in the world. Come on now. And God says, well, I will even take that and work all things together for your good. But you don't have to go that way. But fear and trauma, and past trauma especially, makes us function in a way that makes us lose time sometime and immediate, I won't say the word gratification because people try to make that sound like a bad word. Immediate gratification is a good word in God. Who would agree with that? I know I want to pray and get my prayers answered immediately. Just me? Listen, I want to pray and I want God to answer me today. And God says, well, I don't have a problem with that. Listen to me close. I don't have a problem with that. The thing is, I have to overcome your fears and your hesitations and your doubt and your training and your past trauma to get an answer to you. I left immediately to answer your prayer. The scripture said, but the prince of Persia withstood me. Well, who's the prince of Persia? These are all these demons and spirits that you've given permission and allowance to in your life by the things that you've been taught and trained. So now you've heard me say in the past, learning is not hard, it's unlearning. Unlearning is the difficult part because we've learned to function and live, stay with me, through our trauma, through our experiences. This is how we live. So I say, okay, so then the simplest way to defeat me as Satan is not to even necessarily get involved like we think he is, but to drum up the fears in us that make us unresponsive to the leading and direction of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So, I had to sit back yesterday and say, God, I am aware that I am afraid or intimidated, whatever nice word you want to use, or hesitant, or reluctant. Come up with whatever cute phrase you want to use for fear, right? Just come up, find a nice little one, or I'm using wisdom, whatever mess you want to come up with, right? To not step into what God has called you to. And it's, and the bottom of the day, it's fear. It's fear. Now, I'm acknowledging that there are fears in me, even fears of success in me. How many of you can agree that if you really stepped into what God called you to, and you believe you called to, the thought of that is scary. That the way people are going to act now toward me, where people are, who can I trust? If I got this much, or I wind up this successful, what would become of this one? Are you understand what I'm saying? These things exist. Why do they exist? I've paid little attention to the fears that live with me every day. Because I'm not walking around in horrifying fear. Okay, nobody said you had to. You gotta listen to me. I know this is, I usually I get right in and get your all oohing and aahing, but if this foundation isn't laid, nothing makes sense. The fears that I don't even acknowledge anymore because they become such a part of my focus in life, those little fears are the little leaven that leavens the whole lump. Now, how many of you are saying, well, how do we deal with that? Anybody want to know? Well, okay, I'm acknowledging now that there are these fears. There's things that I'm concerned about. How do I deal with that? What I'm going to read and what I'm going to say is going to be cliche sounding, but then I'm going to, by the Holy Spirit, do my best from this point to break it down in detail and in chewable bites that you can start your journey to this freedom that I'm starting my journey on. Okay? So we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm reading right now from the NIV. No, I'm not going to go to the NIV. I'm going to go to I'm gonna go to the Amplified. I'm gonna see how the Amplified says it. Okay. Starting at verse 6. This is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers and fan the flames and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of laying on of hands with those of the elders at your ordination. What does that have to do with anything? Well, he's telling you, I want to put something in remembrance. I want to stir something up in you. And praying together and having people lay hands on you, not, well, I'm just going to just pray to, but praying for you to stir up the gift. Somebody say, stir up the gift. See, the gift in a lot of us is sitting flat. Is that been stirred in a while? What do you mean? Well, if you come here every Sunday to get a word and then you don't go out in the street and put it to practice and start trying to use what you're hearing immediately and you're not doing anything with it, then you're not stirring up the gift. Well, I minister to people on my job. Okay, do you minister to people on your job? Are you healing people? Are people getting saved? Now, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just saying that's a gift that's laying dormant. It has to be stirred up. And you stir up the gift in people by laying your hands on them and praying with them. This is a gift I know that I've been neglectful of. I'm now, especially since we're here online and a lot of churches are online, well, you get to lay hands on somebody. You don't get the opportunity to. And so we've gotten comfortable, listen to me, out of fear of only doing church spiritual things in church and not in the world where it needs to happen. Stay with me. We are more comfortable laying hands, talking about God, and doing spiritual things in the church. The whole going to the world and preach the gospel thing, it's not comfortable. And the world has gone out of its way to make it even more uncomfortable. You know, you pushing your religious beliefs on us. You can lose your job. You can just forget about losing your job. Just be frowned upon for stirring up the gift in people, which stirs up the gift in you. As you're giving it, you receive it. I'm like, God, when is the last time I walked up to somebody and laid hands? Well, you did last week. But that was like one time in months. I don't remember the last time before that. Listen to what I'm saying. This is not jump around, shout through the roof stuff, but this is foundation stuff that'll change his existence. Why should we be laying hands on people to stir up the gift? Well, I don't have to explain that. That's pretty obvious, but there's a reason for it. And there's a reason why he's mentioning that you should lay hands and stir up the gift. Why? The next verse. For God did not give you a spirit of timidity or cowardice or craving or cringing or fawning fear, but he has given you the spirit of power, of love, and a calm and well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control. So, under the stirring up the gift is why should you do that? Because in stirring up the gift, you begin to eradicate the other things that are cringing and cowering fear. The fears, whether they be big or small, that are immobilizing you are there because they're not being used. So laying on the hands is not, so you got to stir up the gift. I got to find people to lay hands on. No, you stir up the gifts by putting the things that you're called to do into action. The taking the steps of faith, that's stirring up the gift that you've been called to do. The going to the places and having the conversations that you need to be having with people that maybe not understanding what you're saying, but still putting your seed out there. Why is that important? Because you're stirring up a gift. If you stand in front of people and you tell people who you are and what you believe you're called to do, and they all laugh at you and look at you like you're stupid, listen to me close. That's necessary. That's a gift stirring up. What do you mean by that? Because when it manifests, you put it out there, They disagreed, they saw it, and they got the chance to understand and experience your God and your relationship with your God. If you keep it to yourself and it just keep happening, and then you keep coming to people after and say, yo, see what God did for me? It's like, yeah, anybody could have done that. But if you come to them before and they know you and know that from their perspective, you don't have what it takes to do what you say you're going to do, to accomplish what you say you're going to accomplish, to believe for what you say you're going to believe for, and then the manifestation comes. When I told doctors and people and everywhere, no, I'm not going to be on high blood pressure pills for the rest of my life. No, yeah, I'm talking to doctors who are looking at me like I got three heads. I'm telling them about my faith and I'm telling them why I believe. So when that same doctor, when I came in his office and he said to me, you've been taking your pills, and I said, no, his immediate reaction to me was, well, praise God. You know, you believe in God, so I'm with you. No, he looked at me like I was a total idiot and he got angry at me. He got angry at me until he took the blood pressure test. And then he still shook his head and took it again. And then he shook his head and he took it a third time. And he didn't turn around and say, glory to God, brother. Amen. He said, yeah, I'm going to take you off the pills. You didn't take me off no pills. God took me off the pills. You just, come on now. Don't be trying to act like you did it. You didn't do it. You just went along with the proof. But when I left there, he had to know because he heard me speak. Gift was stirred. What he choose to do with it or don't do it, that's his business. The gift is stirred. Are you understand what I'm saying? Our job is we're living vessels. We're testimonies. We are the function of God, and the gifts of God have to combat with the spirit of fear. That's where it all stems. That's where it rests. That's where it lays. You may not think it's fear, but if you search yourself right now, every time that you pull back from being who you are in God, you would find that it's fear that was the motivation factor. It wasn't faith, because faith is bold as a lion. Faith steps up on the top of the mountain and shouts from the top of the rooftops what it believes. It's not concerned because that's going to now be considered hate speech if you say you love God and you believe this and not that. Oh, you can't say that. And all of that's fear. You're not listening to me. All of that is strummed up by the spirit of fear. I can't speak my faith. I can't speak what I believe. I can't take a stand for what I can't believe for. I can't walk around with a Bible because people will look at me like I'm stupid. All of these kind of things are stirred from the spirit of fear. And that spirit of fear and that timidity and that cowardness and its craving and cringing and fawning fear, that spirit is the opposite of faith. Let's just think about it. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. We know fear is the opposite of faith. And when you pray, believe. But he who doubts or fears should not receive anything from the Lord. So it's important that we take this home. Ready? God hasn't given me, say that, God hasn't given me the spirit. Stop. God hasn't given me the spirit. I want to make sure we understand what's being taught to you today. God hasn't given me the spirit of fear. So now let's think those last three words. Spirit of fear. That's not always a natural thing. No. Spirit of fear. What am I saying to you today? Fear is a spirit. Like faith is a spirit, it's the spirit of God functioning through you in faith. And if fear, the spirit, has a place, it negates the spirit of faith. So stir up the gift. Get out there and talk about it. Put it out there in the world. Let people look at me and treat me however they want to treat me. You people are worried about somebody rejecting you and throwing you from job or not letting you do this because of your speech. Let me tell you something. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to get tossed in fire for what they believed. We're not getting tossed in fire. And yet the spirit of fear, cringe and cowardice stopped us from functioning. Now, I'm not saying you got to get out there and stop preaching to everybody. That's not my point. My point is victories and your victories that you're looking for are hidden behind these fears that have set themselves up as just normal parts of your life. You know, everybody has their little fears and set themselves up in a way that they now are in control because we are accepting them as natural phenomenon and living with them. And the Bible is saying the spirit of fear, which is a spirit, is not of God. Well, I don't sin. I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't fornicate. Okay, good for you. God said to me, good for you. But do you fear? Well, not that I know of. And he said, okay, really? Let's walk through it. And he started walking me through these and allowing me to feel what these memories or these thoughts were strumming up in me. And I'm like, that's fear. I got to go in the room now and somebody's successful and wealthy. And, you know, I don't want to just get in there and start talking to them about God and my faith because I don't know what they believe. And, you know, they may be offended by me. Well, that's fear. Especially if the unction is in your spirit to say something to them about your faith. Again, I'm not trying to put nobody on the spot. I'm trying to show you the little hidden secrets that the enemy tries to work in our lives that we don't pay attention to because we've lived in fear for so long, listen close to me, that it's become so natural to us that we don't even rebuke it. We think it's normal behavior. Well, come on, I mean, you know, you go outside, people shooting and stuff, you know, you need to be afraid, you know, you be mindful as the world is crazy out there. Okay. So he don't lift you up since you lest you dash your foot against a stone. So he don't protect you, 1,000 fall at right hand, 10,000 your left, but don't come near you. No, not in today's world, because it's different now, right? So all of these fears that paralyze you. Well, I can't go out and preach the gospel. I'm afraid I'm gonna get shot. I can't travel to go where God wants me to go if I'm afraid of transportation. So all of these things introduce things to you. Watch this. You're still powerful. You're still mighty. You're still God's child. And you're still loved by God. But because of these fears that we've accepted as normal, we are limited. How much God can use us is dependent on how many fears we're willing to walk away from. That could be people, that can be relationships, that can be friendships, that can be demographics, that could be anything. If God spoke to every one of you tomorrow and said, I want you to move to China, fear number one would be, well, where am I going to get the money from to go to China, right? You start thinking about that if you don't have that. Fear number two is, so I got to leave everything I got behind and just go to China? Well, how am I going to live out there? I don't have a job. And on and on and on. I don't even have to tell you what's going through your mind right now. Just picture you being told to leave where you are and go to China right now and start to work through in yourself things that you didn't consider fears immediately springing up, immediately stepping into place and saying to you, I am here to block the move of God in your life by introducing fears, a spirit that God didn't give you. Our limitations, mine included, have been God bringing to me the reality that you accepting things as rationale and common sense and all kind of other stuff and logic that are in totality fears. They're fears. And I need you to start to look at when you ask me, why isn't it this and why isn't it that? I said, well, let's see what's at work. Are you operating? Are you laying out the gift? He said, I said laying hands, but laying it out in conversation. You can lay hands on people in the spirit and prayer and talk. That's more than you putting your hand up saying them in the name of Jesus. Now, if you can begin to stir that up in you. Forget about everybody else now. in you. And I'm just asking you this week, let God just walk you to one or two of them that you didn't consider fear anymore. You just accepted as part of your personality or life. Just one or two of these fears, you will see a door open up for you that you didn't know existed. You'll see it. I promise you, you come back next week and say to me, I stepped out. God showed me this fear and I stepped out against it. And immediately, listen to me close. Listen to me close. Immediately, once that fear was put down, faith was jumping its place. Immediately. Immediately. Once that fear is put down, faith will automatically jump in its place because you're a child of God. Now, will the fear try to come push itself back in? Absolutely. He been there a long time. Good morning, heartache. He ain't leaving without a fight. But it's a spirit. Who am I helping today? Am I speaking to anybody today that needs to hear what's being said? This thing is big, but it's so small. It's so tricky the way the enemy uses it. We're looking for him to come out with horns and the red tail and jump out and go rah. And he sneaks in with these little foxes that spoil the vine. These little things that God began to say to me, that's a fear. That, what about that? How's that feel? Ooh, yeah, that's a fear, ain't it? And what about this right here? Oh my God, yes. Oh my goodness. God, I got a lot of fears flowing through me. Okay. Well, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. So now, as I expose them to you, try not to get emotional. As I expose them to you, I want you to begin to rebuke them one by one because your limitations are bound to the fears. What have you been praying about for a while? And you feel like it's close and you know you should be there, but something keeps limiting you or stopping you. And God says, you want to know? Yeah. You don't really have faith there. You're confessing it, you're speaking it, but when it comes time for me to push you out there, the fear has more power than your faith. You people, I was right, you said that I'd be in trouble right now, right? You people, you people are more powerful than you know you are. You have so much power of God flowing through you that even the spirit of fear is empowered and embodied by you giving it in. The devil don't have the power in us. We have the power to give him the power. The devil don't have a power unless we get. Do you understand how powerful this is? The power of God don't flow through you unless you give him permission to flow through you. So the power is ours. We get to say yes or no to the works of darkness or the works of light. We get to say yes or no to God. We get to say yes or no to every good and perfect thing coming forward in our life. God has given us the power to say yes to him so that he can do all the great things he wants to do, but he can't do them until you say yes. God, how do I say yes to you? I thought I've been saying yes to you for everything. You ain't been saying no to some of these fears. The spirit that I didn't give you. Choose today which report you will believe. We shall believe the report of the Lord. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And I pray this week, and I pray right now, and as you go to your life, that everything in your life that has been functioning, living, and having its place in you as a fear is exposed. That every fear is exposed. And that's what the scripture says, lead every thought captive and to that seeks to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. I kept trying to bind thoughts, and God says, it's not thoughts, it's fears. It's spirit. It's a spirit. It's not just something that's going on in your mind. It's not a thought you're wrestling with. That's not what you're wrestling with. It's showing itself up as a thought, but it's a spirit of fear that has taken a place and moved into your heart and into your life that has not been addressed. That's what it is. He says, stop trying to bind your thoughts. Oh, I shouldn't think like he said, no. The root of it is you are a spirit, you are born in spirit, you're filled with the spirit, and the spirits that have not been dealt with are still controlling your decisions. Deal with your spirits. Your spirits, and I say your spirits not because they're yours, but because you own them. They're yours if you own them. So no longer is it common sense, or such as only good sense. You know what? I said this to Alan last week, and I said it to me ever since then, and I've been saying it since God said it. Guess what, babies? You don't have an opinion unless God gives you it. You don't have an opinion. What's your opinion? You don't have no opinion. I don't have an opinion. He said, what's your opinion? I don't have one. Unless God gives me one, I don't have one. Fear and the spirit thereof has to die in our lives, my life, and every little inkling of it where it exists. And things that have stopped me from going forward, and things that stopped me from doing things, and things that even affected Nellie and my relationship has been, well, you know, I'm a because I've been through this before, and I, you know, I don't want it to happen again. And you know what, you know, and God said, fear. And that fear? That fear. What did I tell you I was doing? Yeah. So why are we introducing your fears of your yesterday and what happened before? And why is that even being introduced? I didn't think it was fear. I thought it was caution. Yeah. Caution of being confronted with what you're afraid of. You can come up with all kind of cute terms for it, but it's the spirit of fear. And God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, timidity, cowardness, cringing and fawning, but power, watch this, love, a calm, well-balanced mind. You see what fear is the opposite of? A calm and well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control. Yes, I've read it enough that I've memorized it. But God has given you, watch this though, stay with me. He hasn't given you the spirit of fear. We've identified that as spirit, but then he gives you what the opposite spirit is. But the spirit of a calm, well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control. Guess what? Stop trying to be in control yourself. He gave you a spirit of that. That goes against the spirit of fear. So a calm, well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control, that's a spirit from God. You don't get it from therapy. I'm not speaking against therapy, but you ain't gonna get a spirit of it from therapy. You get a logic of it from the therapy, but hopefully, what you get from the conversation, you go before God and ask for his anointing on it because there's an anointing. There's a spirit of a calm, well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control. And I claim that spirit up one side and down another. And if that spirit exists, the spirit of fear gotta go. And that's what I said, as every spirit of fear is renounced, every time you invite that out, the spirit of calm and well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control will enter in without you even having to ask. What do you mean I don't have to ask for it? No, he's given it to you. The scripture said, for God has given you. It's being drowned out by the other one. There's so many lies of the enemy that once they're exposed, the peace comes automatically. You're already born again. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? What do you need to give you? I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. I don't want to stay on the message and go long and over, but if I got to beat this in, I got to beat this in. We're praying for God to give us things and gifts that are already ours. It's other things and other spirits that are either hiding them from us or keeping us from seeing it by messing through our own emotions. You're already powerful. You already got a calm, well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control. You ain't got to pray for that. You got that. We got to bind the spirits of fear that try to stand in the way of us seeing it. Who did that speak to right there? That was somebody needed just to hear that directly. You're already a champion. You're already a warrior. You're already more than a conqueror. This is what the Bible says. Why are we praying to become that? Because these fears that have disguised themselves as friends have convinced us that we're always less than what God said we are. You got it. It's in you. A calm, well-balanced, powerful, disciplined, self-control, anointing lives in each and every one of us as we take authority and cast out these little imps of fear. Father, we thank you today and we praise you for this revelation. I'm always shaken up when you come to me with this stuff, especially when you finalize it in the last seconds. Lord, you give me these words and then you say, I'll tell you what it is when it's time to preach. And it's just like amazing what you do. We come against, bind up and lead away captive every fearful thought that seeks to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. I pray on behalf of everybody here and anybody who hears this that we do not walk in the spirit of fear. And even as I'm speaking, I feel a lifting in my spirit, and I know it's happening for other people. I feel a release happening right now, and even as I'm praying. And Lord, we thank you. We exalt you. We love you. We surrender to the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. A sound mind is a gift that you've already given us. We claim it now. Bless everyone in the sound of my voice. And I'm not just praying, I'm prophesying, I'm confessing, I'm laying on hands for them and everybody who's to hear this later. The spirit of a calm, well-balanced mind in all fears, cowardice, frowning, fringing, cringing, anything. We rebuke it. And we take a stand, not to focus on the demon, but to focus on the spirit of power and love and sound mind. We claim it as our own. And we thank you, Lord God, that we don't focus on the dark, we focus on the light, and the dark is automatically dispelled. And we thank you for a victory for each and every person here and every person in the sound of my voice, that the spirit is expelled and broken, and the spirit of power and love and the sound mind moves in and takes authority. And we love you because we could not find this unless you showed it to us. For these kind of gems are hidden deeper in the recesses of the realm of the spirit. We renounce every angle of fear. And we submit to your spirit of power, love, sound mind, well balanced, discipline, self-control. It's ours. We claim it. We take it. In Jesus' name, we claim our spiritual healing. Amen and amen.